Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the living God. Once again, we are live doing God's work. Tonight's a night that we just want to thank God for the ability to be able to just say God is love. Tonight we are supposed to have three speakers tonight, starting 30 minute session. Reverend Averoyo, Prince of Love, the teacher, Princess Denise Minkins, a prophetess and evangelist, Cynthia Johnson. Tonight's a night that we thank God for everything you've done. So I thank God. But I want to call your attention to the scripture, what God says in his word. God is on time, in time and by time. And I just picked up the book and it says, in Psalm 120, if you have your Bible, take, I'm going to show you a few things right quick, what God has been showing me. When you take the word, in my distress, I cried to the Lord. I cried to him. Why did you cry to him? Because he was there for me. Well, see, many times we come into a position that we're not aware of, but when you're serving God, you're going to do as the psalmist said. It was a song that was written so that people could understand. Whatever you're going through right now, God is right there for you. He said, and the Lord heard me. Now, how many times somebody going to say, in my distress, in my calamity, and what happened to me, the Lord heard me. I've asked God many times, and God has heard me. He heard my prayer. He heard my request. Why? Because in the name of Jesus Christ, he answered. He said, deliver me. Deliver my soul. See, he's fighting. In other words, when you read the book of Psalms, he's speaking more in a future tense present. He's speaking more about Jesus Christ. He says, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. How many of you can see in the Bible, in the New Testament, where Jesus Christ was surrounded with lying people? People were lying on him. The Sanhedrin Council, both of them, they were fighting, going over. One even got to the point they were turning all kind of lies about him. Call him a Beelzebub, call him a liar, call him a thief, call him a robber. When he touched somebody, now he don't have no power to heal, no power to heal. We're not going to listen to that. So today in our lives, we find the same thing. Somebody is out there trying to download you in a negative manner. They don't want to hear what you got to say. But let me tell you something. You're not fighting against that person. You're fighting against the enemy of darkness. And the enemy of darkness is always has a plan. But hear what he says in verse 3. And from deceitful tongue, what shall be given to you? Who shall be done in you? See, God's son, when we look at it from that standpoint, when we look at it, what we see, many times people going to lie on us. Have you ever thought about it? In my distress, I've been so upset. I've been pushed aside. I've been abused. I've been lied. I've been talked about. But every time I try to do something right, somebody always got their foot on my, trying to put their foot on what I'm trying to do. They don't have that right. Let me tell you what the Bible tells you and I. What the Bible tells you and I, and here's what God says, sharp arrows. See, those words are so sharp. Warriors with coals of broom free. See, and they would take those arrows like they did that day, and they would make them fire fast when they tell a lie on you. You ain't nothing but a liar. You're a thief. You're a robber. Let me tell you, well, we don't want to go to that church. Oh, no, we went to that church. We didn't learn nothing. We don't want to go into that prayer meeting. Well, what has happened to America today? America has come to a point of stupidity. Those that don't know Jesus Christ, we on this radio station let the people know, we're not here to fuss at you. But we want to let you know. See, I was out there. I was out there in the wrongness until Jesus set me free. So I can say that in my distress, see, I was out there running around doing this, doing that, you name it, I claimed it. I did it. But now that I'm on God's side, I don't have to tell you about the truth. I know I had lied in my distress. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I done cried out to you, Lord. When you going to hear me, Lord? See, many nights I've had to stand by myself. Many nights I have to cry. Many nights I have to wipe my own face, the tears falling down. Many nights I've had to cry out, and God heard me. I believe tonight God is seeing somebody also. What God is doing instead of, he's letting us know that he's still God. In the name of Jesus, he said these words. A false tongue. Let me ask you something. False. A liar. A false. Somebody that tell the truth on you. See, they can take it like this here. They can take the word of God and whisper somebody say, we got 20 people who want to whisper this word. He rose. By the time we get to the 22nd person, somebody said, no, he didn't rise. Somebody around going to say, he didn't rise. But the word was sent out, he rose. So why? See, because what is happening today, as we come into American society, it's time for us to take understanding. When the enemy comes in, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Let my cry. Here we go again. Let my cry. Lord, somebody right now on this radio station, listen to me, has a cry in their heart. They need some help. They need deliverance. But you know, the enemy is fighting you so hard that when times come, God wants to use you. I'm telling you, he used me. I thought everybody was putting me down when I went to preach my first message. Oh my God. I thought I had a lot of friends, but guess what? I didn't have none show up. Nothing but the church members at the church showed up to support me. I would say, hey man, to you, oh man, we got busy, we had some mess to do. See, your friends are your enemies, nothing but the enemies. They don't have no love for you. I'm telling somebody tonight, God says, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Not the devil. The devil said, oh, yeah, come on, talk to me. The devil ain't but a liar. Give me understanding according to your word. Give me understanding. Give me. I don't know about somebody else, what kind of issues they got, but I know what I've had. I'm giving you some examples what I've went through in life. But when I stood up, God said, lift up your head. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Oh, yes. Here comes my peace. My soul, oh, Jesus, dwell too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace. But when I speak, there are words of war. So that's what I'm saying. We're in war right now. And I take notice of what else what God is saying to us. When I lift my eyes up, according to Hebrew, we lift up our hand and we say, Abba, 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 Father, Father. Why are we calling on him? Because that's the only one that has the power and the authority. What God is doing, praise his holy name, for whence cometh my help? Does my help come from the president? Does my help come from the governor? Does it come from Supreme Court? My help, my spiritual help, comes from the Lord. God, who made all things possible, sent his only begotten Son. that we who love him understand he whence he came, my help. My help didn't come from the bank. God made it possible. See, when you're depending on God, only God can make things happen. As the prophetess was saying to me today, God is in the business of making nothing but miracles, and that's what God is all about. When you acknowledge him, he'll acknowledge you. When you honor him, God's going to honor you. See, God called us to be his servants, his friends, and he says he wants to continually for us to praise him, to love him. So while we're on the radio station, I will say this, oh, my God, I love you. Lord, you've been so good to me. When I didn't have nowhere to go, you were still there for me. When I didn't know what I was doing, you were still there in spite of. I came into the kingdom, and I didn't know it was going to be like this. But Jesus told you, said, remember, you're going to have many trials, but in me you're going to have joy. You have many tribulations, but in me you're going to have joy. And this is why when Mariah puts this in, my help comes from who made, look. Who made? How many out there can make a heaven or earth? How many can make a planet? How many can have all these solar systems revolving around one? Only God can. Nobody but God can do it. He's the only one can do it. See, I say this to everybody because I was wanting to know, I thought I was big and bad as God. I thought I'd have to answer to him. But I found out I was a liar. I was a big-time liar. And I asked God one day on the East Texas Freeway, I said, where did you come from? Like I'm a bully. I'm bullying God. God said, I spoke myself into existence. I almost flipped the collar. My skin started rolling. I said, that's all right. I got you now. I understand. See, God will let his presence be known. Hallelujah. Even Moses, when Moses came up on the mountain, God began to speak to him. When Joshua came up on the mountain, we look back to old patriarchs. They went through something. The man we're talking about tonight went through some change. He said, I will not allow your foot to be moved. See, God is saying, who made the heaven and earth. Now, do y'all own Walmart, Kroger's, the Ford people, the Mercedes people, the airplane? See, God made heaven and earth, and he would not allow our foot to be removed. As long as we trust in him, how long can you trust in God? But a moment, somebody said, but a moment. Man, a moment. Come on, preacher. He's going to not allow my foot to be removed. Where I am right now, where I'm planted. He's not going to let it be moved, but he's going to be right there with me. See what I love about God? God said, I'm with you. As one man said, he got my back. And he does have our back. We have to put on the helmet. We have to put on the breastplate. Put on the sword. Get the shield. Put on the breastplate. Put around the waist. Put on our knees. Put on our feet. We have to be fully armored because we're in a war. Spiritual war, and don't you think one minute the devil gonna love you. I'm not trying to glow him, I'm trying to shame him. He goes and he wants women who get pregnant with babies. He wants to have them cut out of their stomachs. He wants to have men become homosexual. That ain't God. That's not God. That's the enemy. Satan uses those tricks. And let me tell you something. He has many tricks. He'll do anything and everything to upset you. Let me tell you. When you're trusting in God, you got to take the word. You got to start eating it day by day, moment by moment. Listen to what he says here. The Lord Ooh, Jesus, have mercy. He says, he who keepeth will neither slumber. And slumber means you're not going to get, you know how you get sleepy and you start slumbering? God said, I'm not going to get slumber. I got my eyes on you. Behold, look, he who keep Israel, ooh, shall neither slumber nor sleep. I think we can close the book right now, but we got to go further. Look, God keeps Israel. He will neither slumber nor sleep. My God Almighty, mentioned twice, slumber. He won't be slacking in sleep because he's the ever-knowing God. God doesn't, he's not measured in time. He's measured in circumstances. When God said, let there be light, there was. There was light. And the darkness comprehended not. That's the God we serve. And so when we see more what God is saying through us, his servant, the sun will not strike you in a minute from its Lord. My God Almighty. The Lord is my keeper. Is the Lord your keeper? Does the Lord keep you when everything looks bad, down and driven out? Does God keep you when you need a new car? See, God can take these material things. May I say this to somebody listening to me out there? God can let that old beat-up car. Somebody can come along and give you a brand new car. The car has nothing but materials made out of dirt. It's been forged. The rubber come off of a tree. It's that company when they let it green out, they take the rubber. It's a, when you see the car, all that's in the car, they take an animal skin and make the seats. Everything is big out of the earth. So who in the world can somebody, how can the devil tell somebody? Satan would want to fight you. I'm trying to encourage somebody out there listening. I don't care if you got a 10-ton of drug. Satan is not going to let you get away with that. He's not going to let you do it. Because that's, he said, that's my money. But he really forgot to remember what God said. He said, if you forgot, see, Satan, he read the Bible. He don't keep us stupid. He said, the wealth of the unrighteous belongs to us. And Satan has used a lot of people in the United States of America. In my life, I've never seen so much hate. I've never seen so much dishonesty. I've never seen so much polygamy. I've never seen so much, I don't like you because I'm not on your team. I'm just going to tell you the honest God truth. God, that's not of God. So out there, somebody, please hear what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah. And when you understand what God is saying, he said, I will let the sun strike you by day. See, today has been a real hot day, but God made it so in my house I can turn the air conditioner on, low as I want. It goes off when it wants to. But God has made it possible. Not me. God has. We tend to forget the minor things. I remember growing up sometime we didn't have no bread. We had to pray. Mama, we used to watch our mother pray. God, I'm trying to feed these children. All of a sudden, while we're in the bed, somebody come by and left a bag of two or three bags of food. See, God has a way of letting his people come by. Did you see him? No, but I know the food was there. I know that much. I know we had some food there. And you know what? We were there. We were there.
Yeah.
Because God is saying so much. Hello, my sister. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. I had taken a little nap and overslept. I praise the Lord. How's everybody? Glory to God. Thank you very much for this here June the 12th, 2017. God bless. Let us pray. Almighty Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, thank you, thank you for this day. Thank you for all your millions of blessings, your wonderful love that you poured out on us. We thank you, Lord, for being God all by yourself. We ask you, Father, for every ear that can hear that's on this line, that they will be blessed and know that you are God in the pardon of their sins, the greatest gift that you're still passing out, being born again, being saved. We thank you, God. And then for those who need wisdom, they will have the intelligence to ask you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And the other thing, Lord, is for those that are in prison and those that are sick, those that are in some kind of bondage in any form, we thank you, Father, for separating us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We glorify you. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for every person that is on this line that is born again all over the world, the body of Christ, the body, the blood-bought body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for mercy and kindness and goodness that shall never, that your words say that shall follow us all the days of our life. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for our enemies. We have enemies. We thank you for them, that they will no longer be able to continue to practice the evil that they have been practicing against us or in our family members. In the name of Jesus, in all things, the words say give thanks in all things. It doesn't say for all things, but it does say in all things, give thanks. So we thank you, Lord, for your multiple millions of blessings and miracles and your goodness and your long-suffering. I thank you for your long-suffering, Lord, because if it wasn't for your long-suffering, you would have already come and already taken us into judgment. But we thank you, Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Elohim El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. Most High God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you and thank you again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, good evening, everyone. I am so ecstatically blessed to be on the line tonight. I am so sorry I was a little late. I had fallen asleep at 7 and just woke up again. So I thank you for your mercy, and thank God for Dr. Hunter filling in. And I would like to urge anyone that would like to call in and have a question or blessing, praise report. Just want to share something with us. I would like to really read to you Psalm tonight. Psalms 140. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischief in his heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. This is Psalms 140, and I started verse 1, I'm at verse 2. Which imagine mischief in their hearts, and continually are they gathered together for war. Verse 3, they have sharpened their tongue like a serpent adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. Keep me, O Lord. Please ask the Lord to keep you from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my going. The proud, verse 5. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set set gins for me, Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord. Verse 7. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Verse 8. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked devices, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. Verse 9. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Now this is David asking for this. And in several psalms where he asked the Lord to really bring something up on him. I want to point out to you, this is a difference right here in the Old Testament and the New Testament, because it tells us to pray for our enemies. Love those who despitefully, love them that do things despitefully use you, who want to despitefully use you. Tell you, basically it's telling you, be good to somebody that is not being good to you. And as you all know, that is a very hard thing. But David right here in verse 10, let burning coals fall on them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they raise not up again. I know how David felt. I'm so proud and thankful to the Old Testament that it did. David was able to really express his kernel feelings. You know what I mean? Verse 11, let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Now, I do want to point that out to you all. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall haunt a violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto the name. The upright shall dwell in the presence. Praise be to God for the reading of the word. I have just read to you all Psalms 140, 1 through 13. I want to expound on some of the things I just read unto you. I got a few minutes. That we do not treat people the way they treat us, especially the ones who are evil toward us. We do not pray for evil to come upon them, Paul even wrote in the New Testament, may the Lord reward them according to their deeds. So that is not totally evil to pray that, but we are trying to ask for a pure heart. And you know the Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled, there is nothing pure. So we want to always have a pure heart. It's not easy. It's not easy. We want to always. Our flesh. This is the separation of the flesh and the spirit. When we walk in the spirit, then we always please the Lord. But when we walk in our flesh, we seek to please only ourselves. And so I'm thankful to God for the Holy Spirit, because he has come and made his abode in us, and he gives us the strength. Yes, sometimes I want to do, I guess you would kind of say, shouting and kicking, doing, Lord, not do your will, not my will. Lord, thy will, not my will. Teach me to love that person that's unlovely, unloving. Teach me to be kind to the unkind. Teach me to be nice to the unnice, you know. We thank the Lord. And it is 8 o'clock now. I will get off the phone, and I will thank you all and praise the Lord Jesus for this time that I've been on, because we have another person coming on. God bless you. Love you. Have a blessed evening. Bye-bye.
Are you on, sister, from Prophetess from Beaumont?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon. Yes, hello.
How are you doing? Hello.
Oh, I am blessed. How's everybody tonight? It's just a blessing, and the words that I've been hearing from you, Pastor, and the young lady that just got off. I mean, it touched to home, and it make you realize that you have to trust God in everything. It's just so much going on in the world. You understand? You have to just totally trust God.
That's it. That's what it's all about. That's what it's
Amen.
All about. Well, you know, one of the things that I think you and I were talking about, there are many issues. A lot of people are being abused. What are you thinking on that?
Well, first of all, abuse. What people fail to realize, abuse is mostly it's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of control. It's a spirit. You just have to just trust the Lord on some things, because a lot of people that's going through abuse, it's a mind thing. They may be in a relationship where they feel like, you know, they don't have anybody that is there for them, and that they're, you know, that they'll have to stay there until what? It's just, it's some stories that I've heard from people that just, it melted my heart, because I too was in an abusive relationship when I was going through something, and I felt like I didn't have anybody but God stepped in and let me know that I had to totally lean and depend on him in everything. And he moved me to where he wanted me to go, but it's not easy. I'm not saying it's gonna happen overnight, but it's a process. But you have to learn to depend on God. You have to learn to depend on God. You have to pray. I'm not saying sometime. I'm talking about you have to be very prayerful, very prayerful. And number one, you have to definitely forgive yourself. Forgive yourself.
I hear you, sister. Keep talking. You're touching somebody.
Yes,
keep talking.
Yeah, it's a mind thing. You just have to learn. You know, there's different kind of abuses. There are physical abuse. There are verbal abuse. There are mental abuse. You know, mental abuse is can be defined as a intentional act to another person. It could be an animal. It could be a person. It's part of domestic violence. You understand? Also, that person can talk down to you. I'm talking about that is verbal abuse. It's like mental cruelty. They can be cruel to you. You understand what I'm saying? People that's in an abusive relationship, I mean, it's like they catch them at a time when they're going through something, and they just totally trust them instead of totally trusting God.
Well, what do you do when you find a person that's involved in that relationship? What do? Do you help them stand, help them get out of it? What do you do?
You have to talk. You know, you have to build confidence. You know, build that confidence where they can talk to you. Because some of them, you know, they've been in this for so long to where they can't talk to you. They don't trust you. Don't trust nobody. And as time goes on, you know, you have to talk to them, you know, tell them about God. And, you know, some of them just not hearing. Some of them are willing. Somebody just, needed to hear a word, because some of them, they have this thing about, you know, they go so, they have been in the relationship so long, or verbal and mental and, you know, just general bad abuse, to where they just at wit's end, to where they want to take their own lives. And that's not of God. That is not of God. They have to lean and depend on God. And some of them, they would, it was a, somebody that I knew that was in a relationship, and they was in an abusive relationship. So as time went on, every time they get money, they would take money and give it to somebody to hold for them so they can get to a safe house. So that went on for many years, and after they got enough money to get to a safe house, that just what they did. They left and went to a safe house, but moved to another city. But it took years, and then they had to go through counseling. You know, it's not easy. It is not easy, mm-hmm. And it's always somebody out there listening, somebody that need to hear a word that will, you know. If it's somebody out there that you trust and that you know that can help you, okay, not everybody going to help you. Not everybody going to be there for you. Some people may say, well, if you need me, I'll be there for you. Well, you go to them sometimes, that, you know, it don't happen that way. But it got to be somebody that you feel in your heart, because you can't just trust anybody that you know, that's willing to help you. It's somebody, it's always somebody out there. They have numbers which you can call, abuse hotline. You can call a police station, you know, somebody that can, you know, come and get you and take you to somewhere where you need to be safe, especially when you have children.
Let me ask you this. Why don't the churches have that availability to help people in those situations?
Well, there are some. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. There are some churches that are willing, and you know, I don't know about, you know, a lot of churches, I don't know, but I'm sure if you would go to churches, they would, you know, find some kind of way to get in touch with somebody that can help you. There mm-hmm. are different organizations. I'm not too sure about a lot of them, but I know definitely you can, you know, especially for the ones that are, you know, have children, especially that, you know, that's a, you know, all of it is an emergency. But when you have children involved, that's something else. So you definitely have to go to the church. You can go to the Red Cross. You can go to the police station. It's always somewhere where you can go, because it's just the relationship is just. You have to be very prayerful, especially, like I said, for children, but you have to get some kind of help, because you can't continue staying into a relationship like that. It's a lot of it's unclean spirits, you know. A lot of them don't know God for themselves, so they don't even really know how to handle it.
Let me ask this question. The Bible, when Jesus left the earth, he told the disciples, he said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach and teach this gospel. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he said, casting out those spirits. So if we come to the day in our life now where we don't believe in casting spirits out of people, evil spirits.
Yes. Yes. And the thing about it, you have to declare. You have to decree it. Because you have to stay in your Bible. You have to read. You have to read. That build up your spirit, man. You have to read. You have to go to a Bible teaching church somewhere. You have to go somewhere. I was reading a couple of days ago, maybe this morning. I'm not sure, but I have been reading, you know, different things, because when you're going through something, you know, you be searching. You have a hunger for God. You have a hunger mm-hmm. for God. So I was reading things, and I was like, you know, Lord, what is it that you want me? What am I trying to understand? I can't focus. But sometimes God don't want you to focus. He wants you to sit down. He wants you to be mm-hmm. quiet and hear his word, and that not of a stranger. But God will send people in your path to help you. I was listening at you tonight, and my God, it was just a blessing about armoring up. putting your shield on, the shield of faith, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, it's just, it's mm-hmm. all tied into one. You have to trust God. You have to read your Bible. You have to study thy self-approval. Mm-hmm. And I was looking in the Bible. I was reading Psalms 144, and it say, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock. He is your rock, who trains my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my love kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer." He is your deliverer. He deliver you from abuse. He'll deliver you from whatever that is needed, that is not of him. He will deliver you from that. He would. "Who subdues mm-hmm. my people under me." And it says, "Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him?" You have to get understanding. You have to read with understanding. And that goes back to abuse. You have to be mindful. Be very mindful of yourself. Do you want to continue to go for, I don't know, months, weeks, years? The abuse is not of God. That is not of God. They want mind control. Mind control is nothing but a spirit. That's a Jezebel spirit. Want control of your mind.
Oh, my God, Jezebel, that's been a long time. Since. Does anybody on the line listening and hear what she's saying? Anybody got a statement they want to make? Can we help somebody? The line's open right now.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Now, when you say Jezebel spirit, do you think the Jezebel spirits are coming into churches like never before?
Coming into churches like never before. Man, I could tell you some stories, but I'm not going there. But it's in everybody's church. Everybody's
uh-huh.
church. But the thing about it, you have to know it. You know, when God has his hands on you, it's certain things you know, you just don't say nothing right now because God has his timing in everything. But the Jezebel spirits in every church, is in every school, is in the stores, in the neighborhood, in your family.
My
yes.
God. Woo, Jesus. My
yes.
Goodness.
Yes.
The line. Hello.
Hello.
Hello,
go ahead. Go
Hi,
ahead.
Hi, who's that? How you doing?
I'm blessing you.
I am blessed. I'm really enjoying. I just tuned in a few minutes ago.
Hey,
baby, how you doing? Woman of God.
Bless. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to her, you know, talking about a relationship, and a lot of this and a lot of things goes back sometime to childhood. It could
mm-hmm.
be childhood abuse. It could be situations
yes.
where it's generational curse, where the mother was abused and the grandmother was abused, and they were told to stay there. But
yes.
we have to know the us as the the seasoned women of the churches to embrace these young people when we see them, and then let them know what the word of God says about them.
Well, let me ask everybody this question, because I know mostly there are a lot of women that are being abused. Now, what do the men who are supposed to be real men do to help the woman who's being abused by somebody else? Tell me what we should do.
Number one, you should at least, you know, be there for that person for moral support. But the most of all, you know, they got so many men that perceive to be there for women. So, that, you know, it's kind of hard for somebody to trust somebody. I've been there. So what I had to do is kind of pull myself, and that's true, pull myself from people and get where I can, you know, where I can be fed. You know, build my spirit man up because I just say, Lord, I can't do this no more. I just cannot do this anymore. I need strength. I need help. And he will send somebody, be a man or woman, in your life to help you to get to where he wants you to be. But it is a process.
Mm-hmm.
You said
anybody else? Anybody else? The line is open. Let's talk.
This is our Pastor Zia again.
Hey.
That my prayer is that, you know, God, when the men come into church, you know, that brings families. It is not in most churches. You know, we have more women in the church. And I think that our prayer should be that God draw the men, because if the men come in, they're gonna bring their family.
Yes.
And a lot of these young women, they don't see that. You know, I wasn't raised up with a father in the house, so I didn't know how a man. You know, my mother taught me so much, but she couldn't teach me a thing. You know, what a man could teach me. And I had uncles and I had my grandfather, you know, I had them around, but I believe that if, you know, we would pray that God would bring more men in. If you bring more men in, when women tend to see this male role model, you know, in the household, people like you, Dr. Hunter, are role models for these young men.
I received that.
Yes,
amen.
Sir. Yes, sir. That is my prayer, that, you know, God would send the men, because there are good men, you know, in the church. There are good men in the church. You know, the world and people will tell you that it's not no more good men. It's some good men out there, because God don't create no junk. But we got to start them off when they're small.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I know I got a preacher on the line. Can you breathe it? You want to go ahead and say something? Hello?
Well, this is Apostle Esther Lindbury.
How you doing? Amen.
I'm blessed and highly favored, and thank God I've been listening to everyone, and I thank God for the topic. The way I review abuse is from that particular person themselves. It all bursts from the spirit of low self-esteem.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the woman point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It's you. I mean, if you think so low of yourself that you have to stay in a relationship, it's something there, even to the fact, analyze it. Some women, they mix up what love is to what true love is, you know, and they caught up behind things. So sometimes when men abuse women, they think he really love them, because in his that spirit that's in the abusive person, they'll go out and buy them a gift or whatever and bring it back to try to ease the pain or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person in that situation, they don't know how to get out of it, because they think that's love. And all I'm saying about this low self-esteem, I would wake up call to every woman to let every woman know you are worth more than that. You're worth more than a diamond ring or flowers or whatever.
Amen.
You're worth more to God than that. But the wake-up call is you. It's a low self-esteem. You don't think you're worthy of what you should feel about yourself. You are somebody. You are great. You are more than this. to be abused and knocked around and kicked around. That's just my perspective of looking at it.
Okay. I know you. See, I know. I'm going to tell you this, lady. She's hitting 80 years old, and she still has a good, fresh mind. And I'm going to pull some more out of her. Now, let me ask you this question. When you find these young women, what do a man like me help a man to come to understand about his woman? Apostle?
Okay. Most men have a lot to do with women changing because of the fact when you met the woman, you proposed to her that she was all of this or that. And so when the woman really love you, and most women, they start cooking in the kitchen. And so the woman start getting fat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so the man now, he's going on out there on the outside looking, and the wife is hurting. She's paining. She's hurting because he's neglecting her now. He's neglecting her because true love, it should be. I'm not going to say that you should not want your wife for health's sake to lose weight, but it's a way to do it. I mean, why throw her to the side? Why don't you suggest something like doing an exercise with her, walking with her, not saying it just because you're fat, but just take her by the hand and say, let's just go walking today. And you're helping her, and you're not putting her down or criticizing her. So all I'm saying is, each person needs to look in the mirror at themselves in a relationship.
I got that. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen. All right. And that is so true. That is very true. That is very true.
Yes. Yeah. We women of God, that, as he said, I'm 79 years old, so I've been through it. I've seen it all, and I know what I'm talking about. But the main thing I do know, I never have stayed in an abusive marriage. And I'm not ashamed to say I've been married 4 times, actually 5, because I married one of them twice. So I do not stay in abusive marriage, you know, because I think too much of myself that somebody kick me or knock me, I'm gone. You know, I'm not going to stay in nothing you got. And I've had 3 homes. I had all kind of cars, Cadillac cars and all that, but I don't care nothing about all that. If you're going to abuse me, I'm gone.
I hear you.
Nothing you have will make me say nothing.
My God. Anybody else?
Dr. Hunter, this is a Pastor Z again.
Okay.
Yes, sir. My question is, well, I guess it's no more like a comment that some men, you know, I had, when I counseled with my first husband, and the bishop that married my husband and I, and we were just talking about, you know, when he was counseling me and my ex-husband, and he said the thing was that he didn't know how to love himself. So it's a lot of men, you know, don't know how to love themselves. How can they show love to someone else?
Yep.
So even with, like, if they do gain weight, you know, he gained weight too. But what happened if you lose your hair or you get cancer or something like that? Because Christ say we should, and they don't know this, that a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church. So what happens when she gains weight? What happens when she loses weight?
what happens when she loses her hair? You know, if it ain't going to be one thing, it's going to be another.
Yeah.
So some men don't know how to love themselves. So we have to take our young men as our young men, excuse me, as mothers, and to teach them these things. And it starts at home, because when the children see this, you know, it's a pattern. They think it's okay. They begin to think it's okay to talk to your husband or talk to your wife, because I've seen mommy talk to daddy, or I've seen daddy talk to mommy like this.
To mama, yes.
See, they think it's okay. So a lot of men don't know how to love, or women, vice versa, don't know how to love themselves. And that's what came out of it. Well, from my first marriage, you know, he didn't know how to love himself. And I didn't know how to love myself either, you know. But that don't make no excuse for the abuse.
No, it don't.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
come in, sir.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, I'm finished, Dr. Hunter.
Well, let me say this then. Because I've been around the horn, through the horn, by the horn. And there are many issues that a man is confronted with. A real man don't mind saying it. But a man that think he's just a good-looking man, or he got this going, he got that going, and he thinks everyone wants him. And see, I think all men go through that stage. But when they come to a point of recognizing, and once they find out, they're going to need that woman for more of what you think she is. She's not your slut, she's not your beat, she's your wife, your daughter. See, that's how I look at it. I look at the fact that someone of them have a daughter. I don't want some man abusing my daughter.
Yes.
I never abused my wife. Now, she made me angry, yes. Did I get upset at her? Many times. Got very upset at her. But we were able to come to a point and sit down and speak to each other when things cool off. See, some men want to go out there and smoke, still smoke the bad stuff, still drink the bad stuff, but they don't want to hear what the woman has to say.
Wow.
Have I got a witness out there?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And see, what a lot of churches, and I'm saying just churches, they're bare bone. They don't have real men can stand up. A real man will say, we don't do that here. We don't know
that's
who's
right.
our wife.
That's right.
We don't know who's wife.
Make
I don't know my wife. No, we ain't let nobody come to the house and go abuse my wife. He's either going to go meet the Lord, he's going to go straight. He got two choices.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm being honest. I'm being honest.
Right.
Now, and so I love my wife, and I say to every man, the Bible says, brothers, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What? Yeah, man, he's that woman. As Christ loved the church. How much did Jesus say? He loved the church until he gave his life for it.
Yeah.
Well, how do we know? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Come on, homeboy. Are you on my team? What you talking about, man? What you talking about? See, many times, I've seen any of mine when I was a young man. A man got so upset because another man cut him. He took his knife and stuff, cut the face all up.
Uh-huh.
And he had to eventually kill her. But when we got through beating up on him, he was wishing he never got to put a hand on her again. But she was dead. But we beat him so bad he couldn't even walk or talk. See, you have to come. See, some men have to, that flesh has to come under subjection. Now, here's where I'm going with this. The more we take the body, our own physical bodies, and submit it unto the word of God, a woman can live with you. No one's going, if a woman knows her man, a woman knows her man better than herself. Hello out there, women. Am I right about it?
Amen.
But I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question for you. What if you in a marriage and you know you're a good wife, faithful wife, and you've been married X amount of years, almost 20 years, and your husband still listens to his siblings?
Well, you know what? That's a choice you got to make.
Amen.
You got to meet me. He got to meet me halfway. We just sit down and cut that cake. Now, we're going to cut it together. We're going to cut it. You want your half, you want my half. See, because if he's in love with you, the sibling don't mean nothing. He's the sibling, he's not him, but you are the woman he's living with. The siblings can't do nothing for you. But we need to love. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, I would like to say this, you know, especially during this time of Father's Day coming up. And I was a first give tribute to the fathers that are doing what they're supposed to do in the Lord. The only way that this world would be able to survive a change is the man has to take his place in the home. And what has happened, they have lost it. It's very few men that stands up to be the man in the house, and he can't do it. I'm going to tell you why he can't do it unless he have the Lord, because he have love mixed up with what God expects. I've seen it in many cases. Men let the woman that's not saved to take control in the house, and she takes control, and he loses it every day. His authority is being slipped out the cup. He has no say. He has no backbone. It's whatever you say, whatever, whatever. And finally, that man, he's sick of himself for being who he is, and he'll start using abusive language because he's really angry at himself because he has not stood up to the woman. And he couldn't do it because he didn't have Christ. See, if you don't have Christ, how can you stand up and say what's right? You got to live this thing. You got to live it in front of your family for them to respect. You want to win your wife over, you're going to have to be like Christ to win her over. And vice versa to the woman, if you want your husband. Because first of all, that's the only way it's going to work. And this generation here is really sad. We just really have to pray because the children really don't have too many models they can look at. And I'm not talking to the saved ones. I'm talking about the ones that's not saved in these households. And that's my comment for the fathers. It's time for every man to return back to God and take his rightful stand.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Let me go into what you were saying. Let me put a man's pen on that. See, men,
okay.
My wife and I've been married almost 50 years. And I told my wife, I said, the house, inside the house, you take care of it. The outside of the house, I take care of it. I'll pay all the bills, the light, the water, the gas. But you stay in your lane, and I stay in my lane. When the children eat chicken, when I'm home, I'll chastise when they're out there. You do that. We have to come to an abominable agreement. And that's what I have to do with my wife for the years I live right now with her. And sometimes it's ain't like I want it to be, but I have to say, okay, tomorrow will be better because every day is not the same day.
Right.
Every day is not May. Every day is not April. Every day is not March. Every day is not February. We're now in the month of June. So what we do is, I say as a man where I stand there, from my perspective, when I make a mistake, I tell my wife immediately, oh, I blew it. You know what she said to me? Well, how many times you gonna blow it? See, that brings that a real man with his eyes, his ears open. Oh my God, you mean she was? Now I'm gonna give you a perfect example. I'm gonna tell you something. Y'all already know what I'm gonna let you know. I've been watching. My wife asked me one day when we got married. She said, I'm going to the store. She looked at me. She said, okay. When I got back home, I went to the store. I was there about 30, 40 minutes. She said, what did you do at the store? Oh, I just bought some ice cream. It did take you that long to buy some ice cream? See, and every time I'd say one thing, she always had another question. So I learned this much. Don't go and make a whole lot of things. When you say you're going to the store, hey, baby, I'm going to the store to get a newspaper. Get the newspaper and come on back home. I'm going to get some ice cream and come on back home. Don't be beating around. See, you're a married man. Single man, I don't travel with single men. Somebody said, what? No, I don't travel with single men. Single men have the wrong understanding. I'm a married man. And I know I've got to set up with the standard. I have to set a standard. That's all I'm trying to do is set a standard for every black man. Because when I never knew my father's love. But I always promised God if I was married to a woman, I would treat her accordingly. I'd make sure my children were done right. And that's all I've been trying to do for these years I'm on the street. Does that make sense to anybody or not?
It makes sense. Believe it. Live it in front of her. That's all you can do.
Yes.
And I would like to just read some. When you said that about a man and then about people, we all make mistakes and sometimes we give out false reports. But we have Christ who is our mediator to, we can repent. And the reason I said that, I was reading a little outline in 2 Thessalonians, the outline, it was about Paul, and I had to look at this twice. It said, apparently, only shortly after writing his first letter to Thessalonians, Paul had to write again to correct. Look at that, to correct a false report that he had said the day of the Lord had already come. Okay? Now, if you think about that, he said the day of the Lord was a phrase from the Hebrew prophets to describe God's key victory over every opponent where his faithful ones would be rewarded. So the Thessalonians, okay, had missed it, but it was now present. That would mean nothing more was to be expected from God in terms of setting the things right. Since they continued to suffer persecution, this was a depressing prospect. So even before he contradicts his false report, Paul reassures the Thessalonians that God will indeed pay back all those who were troubling them. He reminds them of the details he had discussed with them in person. And what I'm getting out of this, what he was saying, the day of the Lord has already come, it was like a misunderstanding from the Thessalonians to what he was saying. So they received it like a false report. So I thought I would say that to be an example of us. If we say a false report, if we speak something that's not absolutely truth, we have to repent and we have to say, I'm sorry, I that's not correct. I did a false thing on it. Acknowledge your sins.
Amen.
That's all I'm saying.
Amen. And see, And see, that's the reason why I always say, when you quote the word directly from the scripture, in context, through context, by context, nobody can say it is right or wrong.
Right.
Thus say the Lord. Amen. See, Paul, Stuart, and Timothy, Paul, the great writer, the man of God who he was. But I will say this to the women on the radio tonight. The God we serve, we inclusive, he loves us very much. He wants us to obey him. And I'll say this, when you read Revelation 4 and 5, 5 and 4, you see what God has made up for his pleasure. And the more we bow down to him and worship him and lift our hands up to him and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And I want y'all to know, today, prophet is Dennis, sent me this elder lady. She sent it to me. That woman prayed for about 20 or 30 minutes, and I couldn't even leave my seat from listening to that. That woman can pray. Lord, how was she? How was she, prophetess?
She was 90.
Oh, my God. I said she was 91 years old. Got a strong woman. And she was everything
you
were talking about. She said, Lord, bring them women home. Stop them going out there giving their bottles away. Bring them home. Then she jumped on to me, and I said, oh, my God, I like this woman. And I said, keep me on your prayer list. Because a woman praying like this, those are the ones I like to get in contact with. You get in contact with the women who know the word, who know how to talk to God. God's going to answer you.
Yes,
Amen.
Well,
and that's the reason,
you know.
I talk to you all the women with respect. And when God said do something, I do something. Amen. You know,
well, you know, Dr. Hunter, too. You know, I'm at a place I love to be with the saints of God who are really growing into revelations. And to the saints who actually really believe in supernatural. Because God is, not was, God is doing some supernatural things on earth. And if you're not experiencing it, it's because you don't believe, see? Because if you believe, you will see and feel some of the supernatural things in your own life. And so in that, I know what I'm talking about because I experience it on a daily basis, the supernatural. And it's nothing like the supernatural because it's something about it that for unbelievers, it's hard for them to believe that. But he does move in supernatural.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Sometimes I don't even try to share with others about the supernatural because I know they don't believe no way. So it's kind of like you saying it to somebody who's not really there. But it's there are people there that do believe in the revelations and the supernatural. Amen.
That's confirmation, Dr. Hannah.
Yes, indeed. That's it. Oh, praise him. Praise God.
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, one thing I would say to my beloved, and I always use the word beloved, because we are beloved. We are beloved because God has made it so for us. One of the things I would say in my life, I want to be that bright light. I want to be able to humble myself. That's my prayer daily on the prayer line I've been on. I want to be humble. I want to get more into his knowledge of understanding him. But when you read the book of Colossians, you're going to find what Paul says. He said, I pray that you come to the knowledge and understand the wisdom what God has stored up for us. So I want to be a part of that program. I'm not going to tell if a person at the church, I'm not going to try to tell you down. If I can help you, I'm going to say, brother, can we step to the side and talk? Now, it's up to you whether you want to. I felt one pastor said, well, we don't do that. I said, we have a prayer meeting at church. No, we don't do that here. That's what we do. I mean, you got sick people in your church, and you don't want anybody to come and pray with you? Tonight you have prayer meetings? Give me a help somebody. See, what we have to do, we who are believers have to stand the course. As the Paul said, the angel told Paul, said, Paul, I'm going to warn you tonight that not a one shall be hurt. Uh-huh. And when Paul told him he's on his way to Rome, and they got up, they so safe. See, when God speaks to you, and I know I have angels, somebody say, you have every so often I have angels to visit me. And I said, thank you, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. Because I know the apostle was saying, the supernatural. I believe in the supernatural.
Right.
I believe in the supernatural. And I know this
I know. Now, I'm going to share this with you all that have an open ear to hear. I was talking to the Lord this morning at my zinc, and I was saying, Lord, did you spare me these years to take care of children all my life? I say, I've raised the grandmas, and now I'm with the great-grandchildren. And he said, it's a great reward. That's how he spoke to me. He said, it's a great reward, okay? So, anyway, I had the great-grandchildren in the back room. I have a great-grandchildren, a set of twins, which are 8 and a 4-year-old. And, you know, as you get older, they make a lot of noise. Oh, God. But anyway, make a long story short, I was sitting in the front room in the recliner, and all of a sudden, the 3 of them came and sit right in front of me. And it was like the Lord said, now's your time to teach them. And every time they come, I teach them a Bible verse. So last week, we learned, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. So today, I said, I'm going to give y'all one short one. I said, I'm giving y'all Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, where it says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. So I asked some questions that they know what judge was, and they did good. Now here's the supernatural. All of a sudden, my front door opened up by itself.
My God.
When it opened up, I told him, I said, do y'all know what happened? I said, it was Jesus. And I said, he just came in. I said, now we're going to say welcome. And we all say welcome to Jesus. And have a seat. And we went on and had our little service, Bible study. And then all of a sudden, the door shut by itself. It shut. And so one of my grandbabies said, well, I guess he left. I said, well, he just came to see how y'all was doing. Glory to God. I said, now, that was supernatural. It was supernatural because I didn't bring them in there to have Bible study. God brought them in there and sit them down, and it was quiet, and it was very attentive. And the last part of this testimony is he took us out. We had a wonderful day. I took him to the botanical garden over here, and then it started raining, and I sung this song. I say, rain, rain, go away. I say, Jackson, Jordan, and Jalen wants to go play. And they was able to watch God dry the rain up. He brought the sunshine out. We went to the garden and walked through it. Now, listen to the other part. We go to the library, and I'm telling you, they had a meal waiting on them. They had some kind of camp meeting going on. So they sit down and had a meal at the library. Then I took them to the store and bought them some ice cream and brought them home. I bought all that out to say God made sure they understood that he was with us all day. That's what he did for them.
Amen.
And he's making them believers too. And I let them see. They're gonna grow up in supernatural because it is supernatural. I said, you see, Jesus is in this room with us. I said, but you can't see him. I said, he's a spirit. I said, everywhere you go, he's watching you. So you must obey. You must do what's right. So they're gonna grow up with that.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's my little testimony today. I am so happy.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Well,
I want to, Pastor Z, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I know this much. I want to thank God for you, what you have been doing, and thank God for everybody. We got about 6 more minutes before the program goes off. Anybody else got a testimony, a word they want to sit out there? See, because we're talking around the world. And I told you, all you have to do is go to Facebook and go to the Facebook, willie.hunter.92, and you can hear the whole program we talked about tonight. And that's what I used to do, help myself get better, learn this radio station. I learned it. And see, that's why I tell people, say, well, you know, you got a doctor. That doctor don't mean nothing. I'm an apostle also. My calling is an apostle. And I do what God tell me to do, not what somebody else tell me to do, because I don't serve him. I serve the true and living God. And all I want to tell somebody is that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son to us who believe. That there are a lot of people that believe. There are a lot of people that are on their way to hell. But we want to pass by, as people say. When we pass by the door, we try to snatch him out of there and get him to understand. Stop drinking, stop smoking, stop whoring, stop looking. We not trying to fight him, we trying to get him to know, because one day there's going to come a time when Yeshua HaMashiach is going to come back and say, behold, I come for my crown. And when he's crowned, king of the universe, my God Almighty. Oh my God, can you imagine? That day when we
thank
get before him, my God Almighty, no more dying, no more crying, no more sickness, no more hunger. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. The God we serve.
Hallelujah.
He's an awesome God.
Yes, Lord.
But I would say this to everybody, listen, we got to pray for our America, because America is falling by the side.
Even
in the top of the presidents going crazy, don't know what's happening to him. Even the senators, the House of Representatives are going crazy, and the mayors all around America. I said, what's going on, Lord? He said, because we're not living in that time. These are desperate times. We're in desperate times. Somebody will feed somebody. Somebody wants it for themselves.
Yes, Lord.
I don't mind giving a person $40 or $50.
Thank you, Father.
Because God's going to measure it back to me.
Oh, yeah.
Help somebody. Don't fight them. I tell everybody, as the apostle said, find you a good church that's the word church. Go in and listen and learn. Don't go and try to find the weakness. See, because everybody in the body of Christ, see, but God sees the weakness as our strength. See, when I'm weak, I'm strong. But we have to, that's why every church needs men who are going to keep the pastor in prayer. And the pastor can't be, the male or female can't be all upset. You got to let God move. You got to find the place to move in your life. And that's how Lakewood grows so big. Because John Osteen let the five minister move in that church. But it's in order. It has to be in order. Everybody will say, I got a vision. I got a word. He said, well, hold that till we finish with the message. And so that's how you got to control some things in the body of Christ. So anybody else got something else they want to say? We got 3 more minutes. Go right here. The line's open to you.
Dr. Hunter, this is Prophetess Denise Meekins. I would just like to thank you for having me on your show tonight. It was just, it truly blessed me. It truly blessed me about abuse and it, and listen to the Bible, Pastor Z and the lady that was on a little bit before, right before
okay,
I got on.
A Royal Princess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I just thank God. I just thank God.
Amen. Well, I want to tell a lady was on it for you. If that one, you heard that testimony. She's 7 years old. If you heard that testimony, you said, wow. She can tell you
yes.
what she's been through. And God still
yes.
got her. And that's
yes.
what God wants to know. We fight that fight of faith. We're not trying to fight anybody. It's called faith fight.
Faith fight.
And I'm praying that the problem gets so big that somebody's going to have to let somebody else handle it. Because we gotta let the Holy Spirit move like never before in the
yes.
body of Christ.
Yes.
Take us out, Prophet. Take us out. Go ahead and take us out in prayer. Amen.
Dr. Hunter, before you go out in prayer, I just wanna thank everyone for all the wisdom. I enjoy this is my second time. The first time the reception was really bad. But I know
mm-hmm.
it was a word through. I know it was a word got through. That's when the enemy gets to acting up. But I just really enjoy you, Dr. Hunter, the wisdom, and Prophetess D, and a woman of God that was talking. And that's wisdom. It was just wisdom. It was just full of just full of wisdom. And I just thank God for it. I'm listening. I'm just sitting here listening and absorbing it. So I really
Amen.
Enjoy it. Amen.
Well, I enjoyed everybody.
Okay.
Take us out.
Okay,
take
Pastor
us out.
Z, you close us out. You close us out, Pastor Z. Go ahead.
Father, gracious God, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this fellowship, God. We thank you for the word from heaven. God, we pray, Heavenly Father, God, that someone's eyes were open from the testimonies, Heavenly Father God. Somebody was set free. Someone was delivered. Someone was healed from a broken heart. God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father God, that you touch each and every speaker, Heavenly Father God, and Heavenly Father, and we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have opened a door, God. You opened a door for the world to hear the word of God and to hear testimonies. And to hear that it is hope, to hear that it's way out. And the same thing we God, you have been taken with men.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As I always say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Until the next time, God bless y'all. Peace.
God bless. God bless. Good night, everybody.